It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. It's another Laker Hockey Talk here on ESPN 1400. And Damon, coming off a huge good weekend for the Lakers, a sweep of Alabama Huntsville, first home sweep since the first series of the season against Michigan State, and 4-0 this season against the Chargers. Lakers played well, especially on Saturday night. I thought you did a great job in the third period.
Yeah, it was a big weekend, obviously, with those huge points on the line. And, I think everybody watching where Northern was at in the standings thought we, where more points were available that those previous four games. And, credit to Northern. I thought they played well that weekend, but we didn't get what we wanted out of that series, and that's always frustrating. So to come back and get six huge league points is just so important for us this time of year. And obviously you see immediately what it does in the stands. It jumps us up to fifth place, striking distance for home ice, and that home ice goal is still in the picture. It's not easy. It's going to be a real tough sledding, but a critical weekend. And the good thing about Friday is that we kept fighting back. We didn't get down when they kept tying it up and coming back. We had three or four leads in that game, and they clawed their way back in, and in a big game-winning goal by Mitch Holtz. And then, as you said, Saturday, that third period is just one of our most complete periods of the season. To get those timely goals, to shut the door on them and not give them really any breathing room to get back in that game. So a really strong weekend, critical points. It was great to be in Taffy Able again. Another great weekend of crowds and energy in that building. So it was important, and we got to keep building and getting better off of that.
Yeah, I thought both those games had some really good things offensively. We had JT Hinkie get two goals, Mitch Holtz two goals on Friday night. You come back on Saturday and defensemen figure in on two of the goals, and it was great to see Jimmy Roll get a goal. He hasn't been in the lineup that much this season. He gets a chance to play, and I think he made the most of that opportunity. And then a great weekend by Colin Sackleman again. He had a goal and an assist, a great assist on the Humitz goal in the third period, and he played really well all weekend again. We had a lot of guys, I think, this weekend who played really well.
Yeah, and that's obviously what it takes. You have to have everybody going, especially with where we're at, lacking a big upperclassman or senior class who can kind of take over and lead this team. Our lone senior, Gus, does a tremendous job for us, but it's not easy being, the lone senior voice in that locker room and having guys who have gone through 4 years of battles and highs and lows and things like that. So, we can't have passengers with where we're at, and we didn't this weekend, and that led to what you mentioned. And, we're getting balanced scoring from three lines. Gage Terrell had the huge game-winning goal on Friday as well, and it was big for Gage to get going there a little bit offensively. But balanced scoring for sure, and then you got the defensemen chipping in, which is very important. We obviously, when you watch us play, you can see that we're trying to get our defensemen involved and make sure they're a part of our offense, whether it's on the rush or in our offensive zone possession. So Jimmy, real credit to him to come in and have that big impact. As you said, he took advantage of his opportunity to play, and that's what we need. And when the guys get their chance, they have to be ready and take advantage. And you look at Brendan McKay, Brian Basilico, they've done that over the last couple of weeks as well. They've kind of assembled our fourth line and have been huge in terms of playing heavy, playing hard, really grinding down the other team and spending a lot of time in the offensive zone on the cycle. So guys have done a good job, and that's what you ask your players, to be ready to play all season long. I think obviously we're a little bit of a slump for a while there, and individually and as a team. Hopefully we're out of that and we're ready to play and move forward. It's obviously a very tough weekend on the road. A team historically we've not had a lot of success on until the last series or two. And, it's not going to be easy there, but I know we're ready to play and we know what to expect out of Mankato.
Yeah, let's just center on Brendan McKay for a second, too. Perseverance of this young guy. He's been outstanding. He's a redshirt freshman. He was here all of last year. He could not play. He had to just play to stay in shape and be ready to go. And he did a lot of defensive work in practices. As I remember, we had some defensemen hurt, and he filled in there. And he's done just about everything you've asked of him. Finally, he gets a chance to play. And as you just said a moment ago, he made the most of that opportunity. And that's a good story right there.
It's a great story. And, one we probably haven't shared, and I guess I want to be a little bit careful and respect Brendan's privacy. But, you know, when a year or two ago, when Brendan, you know, obviously his brothers, Austin McKay, was the captain of our hockey team, and Austin and Barry McKay, the father, kind of said, hey, you know, Brendan's sitting out there. He really wants to play Division I hockey. He's willing to do whatever, you know, it takes to be a part of this program and pay the price and things like that. We hadn't seen him play live. We tried to watch as much film as we could. And, you know, sometimes the film out of that league is pretty grainy and not good to see. But he was a good player out of that league. We obviously know the character of him through his brother, through his father, and just a world-class family. You know, Austin was a tremendous captain for us, and, you know, he really vouched for his brother. And so, you know, we gave him a chance. We told him he could come walk on and, you know, redshirt, and we get a chance to evaluate him all year long in practice and see what he could do. And, you know, it obviously took that and more, and, you know, he was willing to take that challenge and try to move through it. And I know certainly some frustration set in this year as he wasn't getting his opportunities. So a real credit to him. And, you know, it just speaks to that character that he's willing to keep working hard and paying the price. When we finally put him in the lineup, the response from our team was unbelievable. I mean, the guys love him. They understand how hard he's worked and how committed he is to this program. So it really is a good story. And then furthermore, just to him to get his chance and to go in and play the right way and do those little things, pucks in, pucks out, physical play, really heavy down low. He possesses a really good shot, and I think there's some offense there that will come, and that line is really close to breaking through. So, you know, real credit for him to sticking through it. It is a great story. It's great to see guys like that get rewarded who are just all about the team. They'll put the team first in any situation. When they get rewarded, you know, it's really nice to see, and his teammates really appreciate him for what he's done.
He kind of reminds me, Brendan, of Jeff Naparello, who played for the Lakers back in the late 80s, early 1990s. Jeff was that kind of guy. He didn't play a lot his first 2 years and kept working hard. Finally got in the lineup. I think he scored like 30 goals his senior season. He was incredible. And he got with the right guys, and he could skate. And we found out, hey, this guy can play. And he became one of our very best players.
Oh, it'd be nice if he could mirror that. We'd certainly take you know, some big goals out of Brendan this stretch run and then down the road. But, yeah, I mean, he certainly cemented himself in the lineup and shown that he can play. And, you know, that's good. You know, we've got better depth because of it, better competition because of it. And it is. It's a good story, but I think it's early. There's a lot to be written still. And, you know, knowing Brendan, knowing the family, he'll continue to work and improve and be a big piece of our program moving forward.
You know, we always talk about how fast time goes by, and certainly this season has just flown by again. We've got 8 games left in the regular season. That's not a lot of time. We go to Minnesota State Mankato this weekend. That's a tough assignment right there. You got a weekend off, and then you play Anchorage at home. You go up to Fairbanks for 2 games and come back home against Ferris State, and the regular season's done. So the points are so important right now. We've got to have points to stay ahead of people. We'd love to finish with home ice, but if we can't do that, we certainly want to be like 5th, 6th in those standings.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we set a goal. You know, the preseason polls came out, and, you know, they weren't favorable where the coaches and the media thought we'd finish, but we thought within our locker room that we could show everybody wrong and get home ice. And I know we're right on the cusp. There's been some missed opportunities, but also some good wins. And, you know, it doesn't change. You know, the last couple of years we've talked about Mankato being a measuring stick. They've been one of the top teams in our league and nationally. We've been trying to figure out a way to beat them and to be able to skate and play at their pace. And I think we can see we're getting there with, I think we're 2-2 in the last 4 games against them, and, you know, a really good win Friday. And, you know, but it's a challenge for sure. The mobility on their back end is so good. And you know, we have to have our skating game and be playing with pace to match them. Obviously a couple high end players like McCollis, Brickley, CJ Franklin was tremendous against Michigan Tech. So, they're a very good hockey team, and there's a reason why they've been at the top of our conference for a while and into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, we're still working to get to that level. And here's another test to prove that we're making those strides.
Yeah. Minnesota State's a much different challenge than Alabama Huntsville. Minnesota State has high end players with stick skills. They got Danny Brickley on defense who just moves that puck up ice so well. He's like a forward playing defense with a big body. Their goaltending's been shared this season. They've had all 3 kids get in on it, and they've done a pretty good job there too. Again, they're in 4th place right now. They're only 4 or 5 points ahead of Lake Superior State. There's something to fight for here.
Yeah, certainly striking distance. You know, both them and Bowling Green, you know, they're catchable, but you know, we've got to be good, and we've got to go in and find a way to get points in a tough environment. And you know, they're really good on home ice with the matchups, and, you know, very well coached team. You mentioned their goaltending situation. I think when you're rotating through 3 guys, you're probably looking for a guy to emerge, and it'll be interesting that they come back with Nelson, you know, this weekend. He's been their their junior that hadn't played much up to this point of his career, and now he's rolling a little bit here. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in net there, but a real tall task. We look forward to it. This is a place where you should be excited to go in and try to knock off a top team and expect a good matchup. You know, you look back the last couple of series, they've been all over Gordie Dayfield, so I know part of their philosophy will be to crash the net and get goalie bumps in. So we want to make sure we protect Gordie, and he's ready and prepared for that. You know, he likes to go back home to Minnesota and play, so we expect a big weekend out of our net, and then we've got to be good from the net out.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it on a Friday night without two of our better players. Diego Cuglietta, Gus Coriale get DQ'd late, in fact, after the game on Saturday night, a little brouhaha against the Chargers. They lose three players out of it for their series with Michigan Tech this weekend, but that makes it even a tougher task on Friday night, and it makes it tougher for the coaching staff to determine who's going to make this trip. You can only take 22 players. You got to take a couple goalies in there. You'd like to have seven D-men. So now you got to come up with something so that you can take Gus and Diego so they'd be available for Saturday night, but they can't play Friday.
Yeah, obviously, you know, those are two very experienced guys, and Gus, you know, our only senior and our captain, you know, that's a tough loss. And I thought as that brouhaha happened, as you mentioned, you know, Gus really had no choice in the matter. The guy kind of jumped in and started throwing, you know, haymakers right away. So Gus kind of had to defend himself. And that one I thought was pretty easy. The Diego one, you know, I don't know that it was warranted to get a DQ. I wish it would have been called the misconduct, and the league could have looked at it and decided if they wanted to add the game suspension, change it to a DQ. But once it's called a DQ, it's non-reviewable and you can't appeal it. So, you know, two key guys that we lose, and, you know, they're penalty killers. Diego's a power play guy, a face-off guy, and, you know, really tough guys to replace. But obviously, you know, we have guys like Jake Hand and CJ Hayes and Ian Johnston that will replace them and do a good job. And just like Brendan McKay, a good opportunity for them to step in and show that they can help our hockey team out.
All righty. We're going to Mankato this weekend. We'll have both games for you on Yes FM, one of our sister stations here at Sovereign Communications. And don't forget, those are 8 o'clock Eastern time starts. We'll be on at about 7:35 of the pregame from Mankato, Minnesota. We're going to take a break here on Laker Hockey Talk this morning. We'll be right back after this on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. And Damon, the team actually will be heading across and going to Mankato today and getting ready to play. You'll have a practice later in the day and try to settle in there. It's a pretty good situation, really. It's the one place we go where the hotel's actually hooked up to the arena we play in, and you can take the elevator down to the third level and walk into the rink. It's pretty handy.
Yeah, it's nice. I know for our guys, you know, we've kind of gone to a little bit of a pro model this year where we send two buses over. You know, it's always hard as you're building your itinerary to accommodate, you know, 22 individual hockey players. Some guys like being there, you know, three and a half hours early. Some guys would come there an hour early if they could. But this one really allows the players to best prepare and as they need for a game. So like you said, they can walk right over. Our meals are right next door, and the bus just parks. So it's an easy trip that way. And, you know, our guys enjoy it because they can be fully prepared for hockey and, you know, distractions of school, things like that are aside. So, you know, anytime you get on the road, I think the guys enjoy that break to get out of town and just kind of build up the walls a little bit and be all about hockey for the weekend. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a tough trip in that it's a long distance, but it's not that bad a trip because you make the overnight drive and guys go to sleep, actually. They get the sleeper bus experience and get up in the morning and pretty much ready to go, and you're not going to practice till later in the day. So they got pretty much all day to settle into the hotel and kind of get ready to play against Mankato. Now, next weekend we're off. nobody playing for Lake Superior, so the other teams will get a chance to make up points on the Lakers. That can be good, can be bad. You look at the schedules of some of the teams we're competing with for playoff position right now, Lake Superior's probably got as good a schedule as anybody, and a lot of these teams have really tough roads to hoe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not anything we address with our team. I mean, obviously our focus as a team is just simply on Friday night Mankato, but I think as a staff, you know, you're looking at that, you're watching the scoreboard, obviously, and as you said, going through a little bit and looking, you know, trying to project where points are going to be taken or maybe not taken. You become fans, you know, certainly Bemidji, Michigan Tech, which for us are not catchable at this point, most likely. So, you know, we want those top two teams to beat whoever they're playing and take away points from anybody below them. So, you know, it gets a little bit interesting as you get in the stretch run, as you project and watch things, what's going on. But bottom line is we have to take care of Laker hockey and make sure we're ready to play, find a way to get critical road points and then be good when we're back home. And I think the bye week comes at a pretty good time next week. You know, I think anything later than what it is and it's too close to playoffs and the end of the year. You know, I would maybe wish we were Fairbanks this weekend and Mankato that other weekend, but it is what it is. That's the schedule. We have to be prepared. And as coaches, we can, you know, kind of make some changes to our weekly preparation so our guys can be rested for the stretch run.
Well, it'll be interesting. It's this weekend, Mankato, then you're off, then you go to, you come home, you play Anchorage, and those are two huge games. We got to have points against the Seawolves. Northern Michigan just swept them 6-1, 4-0. Got outshot both nights, but Tolvanen played well, and it seems like Northern Michigan has turned it up a notch. All of a sudden, they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and that Seawolves team has been one of the hottest teams up until that weekend. They were one of the top teams in the second half, and, you know, one or two losses, and so they'd been playing really good hockey. And, you know, as we saw, I think the Northern Michigan team at this point is different than that first half Northern Michigan team with getting Suth back and Hanoon in. It seems like Tolvanen, he gave up, what, one in the weekend and was the defensive player of the week or their goalie of the week. So, you know, they're a little bit different team, and then they've been known as a second half team there. And we haven't watched much Anchorage yet. Again, it hasn't been a common opponent. So we'll probably take some time over this break, get a little bit of downtime as we prepare for our games, you know, start pre-scouting there a little bit. Then obviously with the bye week, we'll get a lot of time to look at Anchorage and our last couple opponents. And it'll be interesting. Huge points, and I'm glad we're at home. It's been tremendous to be at home this year, so we'll look forward to those last two weekends. It's whiteout, you know, whiteout nights too for that weekend series, so that's always a fun weekend at Taffy Able.
Yeah, to finish the season right at the end of the month of February, we play Ferris State two games here. We kind of owe them a little something. I didn't think we played well against them down there and got beat a couple times, and you know, we scored a lot of goals and still got beat, and that's something I think our guys have probably got an eye on, is beating the Bulldogs at the end of the season. But I want to go back for a second to Tolvanen, Defensive Player of the Week, stopped 59 out of 60 shots in goal for Northern in the series against Anchorage. And Offensive Player of the Week was Dominic Schein, who had 4 points, three of those goals in the two wins. Mitch Holtz finished a close runner-up there with 4 points on the weekend for the Lakers. But the big news for the Lakers is that Luke Morgan's Rookie of the Week, and he was outstanding along with Colin Sackleman. They both could have been Rookie of the Week, but Morgan's really coming on right now. And the good thing about Luke is he's the kind of guy who can play against anybody. He's got that great speed, and he's going to be effective, I would think, this weekend.
Yeah, you know, and then prior week was Max Humitz, WCHA Rookie of the Week as well. So it's back-to-back for our young guys. And you know what? Our young guys have been good. You know, even leaving Omaha, you know, we lost that game Saturday after having a lead going into the third period, but we all kind of left as coaches and said, you know what? Like, I thought our freshmen acquitted themselves really well against a good team down there, the team that plays with pace and skill, and they've continued to show that. You know, Luke has been really good. His line that first Northern weekend was tremendous with Nellis and Hankey. They're a little bit off that second weekend, but then again this weekend, you know, Luke set up both JT Hankey goals with great skating and pace, set up Colin Sackerman's goal on the rush as well. So and it's tip of the iceberg. This kid's a true freshman, you know, 1 year of junior hockey, and, you know, ideally he might be a captain right now in Cedar Rapids and playing in all situations. And I know, you know, that's been a little bit of, you know, Luke's up and down a little bit. I know there's a little bit of frustration there that he wants a bigger role at times on the penalty kill and on the power play, and he has gotten some power play minutes. Luke was one of the main penalty killers on Cedar Rapids last year. That was the top penalty killing unit in the league. So we know he can do it. Obviously, we've got some guys who have had that role for a couple of years here now, and that's made it tough for Luke to get in there, but he's getting more minutes on the penalty kill lately, and again, on and off on the power play. The hard thing is, you know, with the Hankey group, group. We really need a lefty in that group, and Luke being a right shot, it makes it tough. But he's been very good. He's a very good player, and again, I think it's just tip of the iceberg. I think what lies ahead of him in our program is really some highlights and an outstanding player, outstanding kid too. I mean, his commitment to the game, his commitment in the classroom is off the charts. He's a guy you love to build your program around.
A lot of good young players on this team. That attesting to that would be the Rookie of the Week honors 2 weeks in a row. We got some good freshmen, some good sophomores here who are going to really mature. Lakers are a team of the future. They're going to be very good. We did lose a good one in Owen Hedrick, who decided to go play junior hockey at the age of 19, so he could have maybe 2 years there to play. I think he would have developed into being a really good Division I player too, but he made a choice to go in another direction, and we move on with what we've got. But what we've got is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I think as you say that, we haven't talked about it much, and I know Eddie Bishop, our sports information director, kind of dug out some stats for us, but I think our freshman class is the seventh highest scoring freshman class in the country. You look at the top, and it's BU, BC, North Dakota. I mean, really impressive what they've done to come in here, and it's not like they get to get spotted in with a couple of seniors on their line who have played along, or Colin Sockerman gets paired up with a senior to show them the ropes. You know, they're playing with sophomores and other young guys, so that's been really good, and that sophomore class continues to be, I think, the second now. North Dakota, I think, is 2 points up on our sophomore class as the highest scoring class in the entire nation, not just among sophomores. And I think when you put freshman sophomore together, those two combined are the highest scoring class, freshman sophomore combined class, and just behind us is BU, BC, North Dakota. So really impressive. The job Rich and Doug and Pete Aubrey before that have done on the recruiting trail has been tremendous. You know, they've done a really good job, and the guys to come in and take advantage of opportunities, a lot of credit to the players for their ability to do that.
Yeah, now the future, we've got to get some more recruits. We need to replace an Owen Hedrick now who's left. We may lose another player, even two, at the end of the season, and may sign early with pro contracts. We don't know about that. You got a couple other guys who may or may not be coming who've signed national letters of intent or whatever, but there's work to be done there, and recruiting's a big part of it. This weekend, Rich is going to be out on the recruiting trail, and in the future, Doug and you will be going out, especially when we have the weekend off, and there are goals here, and all anybody's got to do is take a look at the list that's on the wall in your office.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, there's holes to fill, and there always is. Like you said, you know, you never know in today's game. Obviously, we have a couple of guys who are having good years, and you know, guys that NHL guys project to do very well. So, you know, we won't know. We might not know. We might know July, August. We might not know till later. So you're always working. But again, I think they've done a great job, and I've got full faith and confidence in Rich and Doug to go out there and continue to upgrade our team and get us guys who can come in and contribute and help. And so Rich will go out. It's hard in today's world, like, you know, with a guy like Cole Holtz, who's now third in the USHL in scoring. I mean, you recruit guys like that, and you know, there's some teams that have you know, been involved with trying to, you know, sway him away. And so part of what Rich will do is go out there and touch base with our committed guys, and you know, just spend some time with them and kind of babysit and protect them a little bit. And it's unfortunate a little bit the way things go, but you know, it's so competitive out there, and it's not like 20 years ago or 10 years ago where it didn't matter much. You know, people were pretty safe in their jobs. Now there's a lot more movement in jobs. If you don't win, you're going to get let go, and so it's not a real gentleman's agreement out there anymore. That's kind of by the wayside by a lot of teams. So Rich will get out there, watch a little bit. Next week, the bye week, will allow Doug and I to both get on the road as well. And, you know, we'll look to make moves. If they make sense for our team and they make us better, we'll do it. If not, we're very confident with the group we have. And we like our depth. We like our players. And so there's nothing overly, you know, urgent that we have to replace. But if we can get better, we'll look at getting better.
All righty, Damon. Well, good luck this weekend. You got a tough chore going to Mankato. Then you get a weekend off to kind of get ready to go play again here at home against Anchorage in 2 weeks' time. So until next week, good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll look forward to touching base Friday night, and everybody tuning in, thank you, and we'll talk soon.
All righty, that's another Laker Hockey Talk. Till next week on Thursday morning, Bill Crawford for Damon Whitten. So long on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, right here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.